This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by Acuron Corn Herbicide from Syngenta, which delivers 5 to 15 more bushels an acre than with any other herbicide. Acuron is a restricted-use pesticide. Acuron Yield Advantage range is based on 2016 Syngenta and University trials.
All right, the 1 p.m. news headline. Gremlins tried to get us again today, but we shrugged it off. We're talking to Sherman Newland today to get his take on everything. Welcome to the show.
Live from Sparkle City, USA, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, we will talk with Sherman Newland from Risk Management Commodities. And right after the news, Oliver Sloak from Blue Line Futures drops by. I'm Handsome Newsman Davis Michelson, and now, in for the Razorback and Chip Flory, from Zahner Ag Hedge, Ted Theodore Seifert! How you doing, Teddo?
I'm doing great. How is my handsome newsman today?
Fan-freaking-tastic, my brother. Glad to be here.
Yeah, I heard you had a fun week earlier in the week, traveling to Madison, huh?
Yeah, the funny thing is, it seems like it's about 20 degrees colder up in Madison than it is here in Sparkle City. I don't know. I'm not a meteorologist, okay? But I think they're like farther away from the sun or something up there. There's got to be something different. It was definitely chilly.
It's Packers country. You know, what are you going to
do? Is that what it is?
They are on fire this year, so yeah, whatever.
I can't imagine if they were cold this year, how it would feel in Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah. No, they get grumpy in Wisconsin when it's cold and their football's not doing well. So
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, it is cold here, man. We've been setting record low temps the last couple of days, and we had record snow on Monday, and wow, it is January, even though my calendar says November 14th.
Yeah.
January everywhere. Everybody's got their fluffy coats on with the fur on the things, and you know.
I recall, was it last year, you were doing some ice dancing in the streets of Chicago, made a big splash on social media. Via some news report.
Yeah.
Do you plan on reprising your ice dancing routine this year?
We've actually, it's funny you say that, because we've had, today we're warming up a little bit and we've got stuff falling off the buildings. And
And here I am making light of it. It's like shards of glass falling from the heavens.
Yeah. Fortunately, we didn't have enough snow to really have any big chunks come down, but, oh, that happens. That's going to happen a few times this year. I get the feeling. I mean, if we're starting off this way, I can only imagine how bad it's going to get. So,
Hopefully I'm wrong.
Hopefully it is a wonderful, warm winter, but I don't know. It doesn't feel that way right now.
No, it really doesn't. Maybe a shot of June-vember coming up here next week, I think, maybe. I saw.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll run with that. But well, hey, buddy. Listen, we're gonna have to get into the news. But if everybody wants to join the conversation, please feel free to do that. You can tweet at me, or I'm at the Ted Spread, by the way. Or give us a call at 855-4-TALK-AG. That's 855-482-5524. And with that, Davis, buddy, take it away.
Not a terrible amount of movement in the markets today. After rallying early this week on wintry weather in the plains and weakening winter wheat crop conditions, futures were under pressure in today's trade. An increase in EU wheat export forecasts limited support, as did an overnight tender for wheat from Egypt, which will likely be filled by Ukraine. This as dry weather in the Black Sea region and excessive moisture in Europe limited selling pressure. December hard red futures were 2¾ cents lower at 422. December soft red futures fell a penny and one quarter to 507¾. December spring wheat was off 2½ cents to 512¾. Ted.
Yeah, buddy. You know, we had the strong day in the wheat, Tuesday? And then we've just been kind of struggling ever since. Yeah, that tender didn't help things out. So I don't know. I'm still fairly friendly wheat. I think we'll have a couple more of these winter kill scares before all said and done. Mm-hmm. But man, it'd be nice to find some footing and turn this thing around.
Well, and technically, we had been watching December SRW futures at that $5 level as being kind of one of those magic rotational numbers for us. And we're 507¾ here, I don't know, 2-3 weeks later. That seems significant.
Yeah, it does seem significant. I mean, at the very least, it does feel like we've got some footing underneath us. The question is, can we turn it around and push this thing higher, or is it just a sideways trade from here?
Right. Well, after firming through the overnight session, corn futures were able to hold on through the day session to close in positive territory. Roughly 28 million acres of corn were left in the U.S. fields as of Sunday, according to USDA, which added support. Beyond that, traders are looking for some fresh news, keeping futures tethered closely to unchanged. Last week, ethanol production rose 16,000 barrels per day amid improved movement as stocks fell 889,000 barrels to 20.985 million barrels. December corn futures were a half cent higher, 375 and three quarters. March corn gained three quarters of a cent to 384 and three quarters. May corn, 390 and three quarters. That's up a full penny today. Ethanol moving in the right direction for us anyway.
You know that's what I was going to make a comment on. You know I like hearing that. Yeah, I mean, it's the right direction for both things. You know, production up, stocks down. That's what we want to see. That's good news.
You bet.
Aside from that, you're right. It is a lack of news for corn that is really the problem that we're having. You know, I mean, we keep getting these little trade headlines, but that's not such a corn thing as it is others.
Right.
You know, we need to know more about what this crop is. We've got, you know, the demand bears out there, but we've known about that. We know our exports are down. We got that. And we've got the supply bulls out there. We know that there's an issue with this crop. We just don't know how bad it is. And eventually we're going to have to line the two up. We're just waiting to have more information to do that.
Yep. Well, rallies in soybean futures continue to be sold off, making it difficult for the market to gain solid footing. Improved South American weather eased concerns over the Brazilian and Argentine crops, fueling negative sentiments. While U.S. and Chinese negotiators continue to work toward finalizing phase one of a larger trade accord, some controversy has arisen, Ted, surrounding China's promised purchases of U.S. ag goods and the Trump administration's next move on adding or removing tariffs in wake of the deal. November bean futures 2.25 cents lower, $9.25. Let's come back to that. January beans gained a cent and a half, 9.16 and three quarters. March beans, 9.29 and a half, up a shiny penny on the day. Novi at $9.25. Do we have to hold $9 in the Nov beans?
Yeah, you know, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think 9.11, 9.10 area is a much bigger thing for Jan.
Okay.
We've moved into now in the month of December, or I'm sorry, month of November, we're in delivery period. The NOV can do what it needs to do. We're focused on the Jan at this point. 9-11 is a big line in the sand. We closed back above our key 100-day moving average today. We need to continue to do that. This is a long-term trend line as well.
All right.
You know, yesterday, we keep getting bit by these news headlines coming out very strangely timed. At 1 p.m., you know, yesterday we had some would call it a key reversal going on. You know, we made a new recent low. We were above the previous day's high, Wednesday or Tuesday's high. That would have been a really, really nice buy signal on the chart, but we couldn't manage to close up there because we got the news headline that, you know, China's kind of balking on ag purchases, or we're having a spat over that. And so soybeans took that really hard. And then again today, we had right at 1 o'clock. So it feels like the news headlines are being placed perfectly so that it kind of tries to keep things down.
Yeah.
But we did end up closing positive on the day in Jan after making a new contract low, or I'm sorry, making a new recent low. The trade action that we saw today. I'm friendly for beans going forward. I think we are trying to find a bottom right here.
Your tinfoil hat's showing. On the livestock side, December cattle, 97.5 cents higher, 119.07.5. Feb cattle futures firmed 82.5 cents, 124.92.5, and Novi feeders firmed a $1.05 to 146.62.5. Some long liquidation there early in the session, but futures recovered higher cash trade, surge in box beef values. And finally, on the snout side, hog slaughter rates are beginning to taper off, and price declines in hams weighed on cutout values. December hogs 37.5 cents lower today, 62.75. And February lean hogs fell $1.17.5 to 73.37.5. Is it all over for hogs now, Ted?
Eek, I don't know. You don't like to look at that December chart?
No. Not at all. Not at all.
Yikes. Anyways, all right, come on back. We're going to be talking to Sherilyn Newman. Have a good one.
There may be no other saying more relatable to farming than you reap what you sow. In essence, if you use good inputs, you will receive a good output. On the flip side, if you use poor inputs, the output won't be so great. Generic egg products have risen in popularity in recent years, but I'm joined today by Kansas retailer Colton Katz. Colton, why do you recommend your customers avoid using generic corn herbicides.
Well, we're doing as many acres as we are. We don't have time for downtime. And if you want to be a commercial applicator, you just cannot run the generics. You don't have that kind of time. And then, you know, you're going to lose a lot of credibility when those things don't work. And you can't stand behind those. So 100% of the products we apply are going to be name brand products. We just do not run generics through our own machines. I have sold some generics to customers with their own sprayers. Oftentimes, especially on like the miso, you get a phone call and it's, hey, this stuff has turned to flat cement in the bottom of my tank. Well, that's what's going to happen to you. There's nothing I can do for you at that point.
Speaking of lesser herbicide inputs, you have an interesting story about the impact using those can have on a grower's bottom line.
I have one guy that this year really wanted to go to a cheaper route. He used a herbicide that I'd call definitely a second tier. It wasn't quite generic, but definitely not to the quality that Acuron is. And when you count that plus all the post cleanups, we're going to have three applications and a total of over $100 an acre just in chemical. Whereas the Acuron, if you'd split shot it, we could have done it for right around 60.
I know a lot of people say Acuron is the best corn herbicide on the market today. What would you say to growers who are on the fence about trying it because they aren't sure it will give them the ROI that they're looking for?
Everybody initially has a little bit of sticker shock when you switch to Acuron or Acuron Flexi from something like Lexol, or some guys are running the generics. It's just not working, and this is definitely going to cost you a little more up front. I can tell you this for certain, if somebody buying the grain off your field also, that money's going to come right back into your pocket when you go to sell your crop in the fall. It really has done an excellent job of boosting yields, just staying clean.
That was Kansas retailer Colton Katz talking to us about Acuron corn herbicide, which 2016 Syngenta and University trials shows delivers 5 to 15 more bushels an acre than any other herbicide. Just a reminder to always read and follow label instructions. Acuron and Lexar EZ are restricted use pesticides.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success, like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
Picture yourself driving the tractor of your dreams, creeping up and down the rolling hills, enjoying an incredible sunset, and feeling satisfied that you are able to finally find your dream tractor at a reasonable price. Visit MachineryPete.com for the best selection of used tractors, skid steers, mowers, and more. We've revolutionized searching for equipment online. Find exactly what you're looking for quickly and easily. Your next piece of equipment is only a click away on MachineryPete.com. Visit MachineryPete.com now.
Doug Jansen is from Golden, Illinois.
So I got my start in the seed business about 35 years ago now. We've been treating beans now for almost 10, but each year it just grows exponentially. We're starting to plant beans earlier every year, so with that, we just have to protect them more and more. So with the Olivo treated beans, you're gonna see really healthy beans late in the year. The sudden death would really show up about heavy pod fill time, just as it goes into that reproductive stage and it starts filling pods. I mean, you could literally see a 30 to 40 bushel yield difference. I think, you know, it goes beyond peace of mind for these guys. I mean, we were in a tough environment this spring with all the rains we got. I think guys now are managing more as part of a risk management standpoint. It gives them more than peace of mind. It gives them bushels at the end of the year and along with that peace of mind. So I feel 100% comfortable when we use the Levo seed treatment that the grower's going to be protected, the yields are protected, and we're going to get every bushel that we possibly can out of that acre.
BASF, we create chemistry. Always read and follow label directions. Elevo is a registered trademark of BASF. All rights reserved.
You can't see them, but they're coming for your soybeans. Pythium, Phytophthora, and soybean cyst nematodes are serious threats, and they require serious seed protection. Valent USA has developed a 1-2 punch defense so growers can take the next step in soybean protection. Intego Sweet Soybeans has four powerful modes of action against insects and diseases that work in tandem with Aveo Easy Nematicide to stop soybean pests and diseases before they strike. Find out more at soybeanprotection.com. Always read and follow label instructions.
This just in from the front lines of the fight against tough weeds in soybean fields. Growers have taken the next step with the ultimate secret weapon. Fierce brand herbicides from Valent USA. These pre-emergence herbicides protect soybean fields with multiple effective modes of action, residual control that lasts up to 8 weeks, and fierce resistance management to help you win the battle against resistant weeds and the war. Ask your retailer or visit Valent.com/fierce to learn more. Always read and follow label instructions.
I don't know what you're thinking. So call us at 855-4-TALK-AG and tell us what's on your mind.
Ooh, all right, welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. My name is Ted Seifert. I am the Chief Market Strategist of Zahner Ag Hedge. But today, I am guest hosting AgriTalk for Mr. Chip Flory, who is out and about, and good for Chip. In warmer weather, I suppose. In the meantime, you got me and my super handsome newsman, Davis Michelson. Good friend, good buddy.
True statement.
Yeah. Yeah. And also today, we're going to be talking to Sherman Newland of Risk Management Commodities. I believe Sherman has been on the show before, but I think it's been a while. And it's been this will be the first time I've had him on the show. So what I want to do is I want to bring Sherman in and then have him kind of give us a little bit of a background on himself. Let's say this. I've known Sherman for a couple of years now. I like Sherman a lot. He is a broker, but he's also a farmer down in Central Illinois, South Central Illinois. Y'all going to love the accent. And he's a really smart guy. So I'm excited to have him on the show. Sherman, how's it going today, buddy?
Oh, great, Ted. How are you?
I'm about as good as I can be. I'm pretty cold, but, you know. Yeah.
It's chilly down here, too. But, hey, thanks for having me on the show today. I really appreciate it.
Hey, pleasure's mine, Sherman. I've been wanting to have you on for a while. So, Sherman, why don't you do us all a favor? Tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, what you do for Risk Management Commodities, and, a bio on Sherman.
I'm a commodity analyst. I'm a broker. We primarily work with farmers, helping them figure out their hedging strategies and when to sell their cash grain, what we need to do, if we need to do something about options or futures and try and help them work out a market plan for their farm every year. Also, like you said earlier, I'm a farmer. I farm full-time also downstate Illinois, and I've done that my entire life. So the two kind of go hand in hand, and farmers seem to like being able to work with somebody that actually knows farmer talk, so to speak, and understands what they're going through and how hard it is to sell the cash grain at certain times and let go of it and kind of understand what they're going through and help them out. So
yeah, fantastic, man. And you're right. I think guys a lot of times really do like working with guys that are out in the field and really know what they're looking at. And I think the first time we met in person was on Crop Tour. Or no, I guess not. Probably here in Chicago. But I guess that's why I do all that stuff too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Right on, buddy. Well, I want to kind of jump into it here. Soybeans are on the top of my head right now just because I find it very interesting that the last 2 days, you've got soybeans that put their lows in early in the day, in the morning, and then start coming back and towards the end of the day. And then right there at 1 o'clock, yesterday and today both, we get the, headlines about the trade deal that maybe things aren't going as well as we are hoping for. So what do you think about that? I mean, what do you think about the timing of that? What do you think about the headlines? I mean,
it is a headline-driven market. I was just talking to one of my clients earlier, like, wow, I was really impressed with the big move in beans today. It's kind of sad to say when we only moved 6 cents or 7 cents, but, it was a nice day to see them come back off the low and bounce off some pretty good support areas, and see them recover the way they did, even though we were only up like a penny and a half into January. With November where it's at going off the board, I think, this $9 area ought to be really good support. So I did like the action. I mean, the chart action looks pretty good going in through here now. I mean, some of the technical signals that I've watched are kind of starting to turn back up. So if we could just get some good news, to help it out a little bit.
So speaking of good news, or maybe not, what do beans look like in your area? First of all, are you done combining beans at this point?
Yeah, we finished the other day. There's still some beans out there yet to be harvested. The guys have been, you know, trying to dry corn. And to be honest, a lot of the days haven't been great days for trying to cut beans. They've been high moisture. That's been part of the problem. I mean, the beans have been wet, so, you know, guys are trying to wait for good days to get the beans out. But for the most part, a lot of the beans are harvested. We're completely done with corn and beans here. There's still some corn and beans out here, but not a lot in our area. Okay. Yield-wise, we were down 10 to 12%, I'd say, off average on corn, and probably the same way on beans. I think we averaged like 186 for the farm this year. Last year, we averaged 232. So we are way off from last year, on production from last year. And kind of the same way with beans. I mean, we averaged about 60 bushel for the farm this year. Our typical average has been running, going higher, but around 66. Last year, we averaged 72. And that's been typical, the norm around from talking to guys in the area and around the states and stuff. That seems to be more of more the norm than not. I mean, you'll find some guys every now and then finding some good yields. Don't get me wrong. But there's been some really lousy yields out there too.
Right. Yeah. And so I guess, you know, I mean, you talk to a number of guys throughout the country as well. And I know sometimes it's hard, especially when I'm talking to my farmers, sometimes it's hard for them to get a good grasp of what's happening, you know, 150 miles away from them. But what do you think of this overall bean crop? I mean, do you think the USDA is pretty spot on at the 47 national average yield? Do you think they're too high yet? What are your thoughts?
I personally, I think they're a little bit too high. Will they come down? You know, in the January report, your guess is as good as mine. I think they should. There's still a lot of beans out there yet to be harvested. Mm-hmm. You know, how much will we lose from that lateness? Or if they even get some of them completely harvested or not. I mean, that's still a question. So I mean, I think we should be lower. But how much is your guess as good as mine? I mean, they didn't really lower it on the last report, so then lower it again. I don't think it'll be as much as what you and me probably think it should be, you know, so to speak. But we'll just have to wait and see what they say.
Yeah, I mean, look, we're all just sort of on pins and needles for, you know, more info on harvest, more info on trade deals, you know, everything. But what do you see happening for soybean prices? You know, again, we're trying to hold the support right now.
Right.
We're sort of at a make or break point on the soybean chart. Which way do you think this goes and why?
I kind of think we're kind of hanging here and hold. I mean, I feel like we're in a zone. You know, we feel like we're already in holiday mode to me. I mean, no more than the market's been moving. The trade acts like it just wants to wait for some information. You know, our carryout's a lot lower than what we thought it was going to be initially at the start of the year. I mean, China's been coming in and buying some beans. I mean, we sold 129,000 tons of China this morning on some export flash sales. Tomorrow we get export sales and NOPA crush. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. So I think overall, with the situation, you know, in South America, which is not dire by any stretch of the imagination, but they've got a lot of weather ahead of them. From what I understand, they're kind of sold out of beans right now. So this Dece Jan time period may be a time where we could catch up on some bean sales. So I don't think the market's ready to slam dunk and say the bean market rally is over. I mean, I'm kind of friendly to beans right now. But with that said, you know, I take a look at new crop. You know, if we could get some prices higher than where we are, back up in the 965, 970 area, I'd take a look at that. I mean, we had some beans up there when they were up there last time. So I kind of like getting some new crop stuff sold. I'm a little nervous about what could happen in 2020 for both corn and beans. So,
you know, something you just mentioned, you know, we saw an export sale to China here this morning. That coming after a headline yesterday that we're quibbling over ag purchases. I'm sorry I'm pointing this out again, but to me that just seems like some very interesting timing for China to say something that breaks the market and then to come around and see a sale there the next morning. I wonder if we're going to see that again tomorrow. But right.
Talk the market down, come in and buy something. Yeah, no, I've never heard of that, no.
You know, I was having a conversation with a guy who's, he mostly trades interest rates and equities and things like that. And he's like, you know, I think we've really underestimated how smart the Chinese are. And I turned to him and I said, you know what, grains traders, we don't. We've known this for a long time. They're smart, you know. So, yeah, I know it's interesting. Oh, yeah. But, So yeah. NOPA crush tomorrow. The USDA chopped 15 million bushel off of NOPA crush demand. Do you think that's going to end up panning out at the end, or do you think this crush demand might be a little bit stronger? We don't have much time before going to the next segment, so go for it.
Right. It could be a little bit stronger. I mean, we've got a lot of livestock out there right now. I mean, we're still running behind, but I think we could have a good number tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah. No, I'm thinking so too. And usually that October number, which is what we're getting tomorrow, is a very strong number. So I'm thinking that, hoping that maybe the trade's a little bit surprised by that. So we'll see. We'll see. But I really want to get into corn for this next segment. I think there's a lot to talk about in corn right now, even though there's not a whole lot of news at the moment. You know, we're talking more longer term type stuff. But as far as soybeans are concerned, I agree with you, buddy. I am friendly. When you talk about a 475 million bushel carryover after, you know, in the spring we were talking 1.1 billion bushel carryover, I think right. That's a much different story. And, you know, China keeps buying. This could be very interesting. So when we come back, let's talk about corn. We're talking to Sherlyn Nguyen from Risk Management Commodities. And come on back to AgriTalk, everybody.
Pivot BioProven is the first ever nitrogen-producing microbe that supplies nitrogen directly to the plant, helping maximize yield. Just ask Zach from Oklahoma.
The average was about a 5 to 6 bushel an acre benefit. Not only is that more money in my pocket, but it's less money I had to spend on fertilizer and wear and tear on my side dressing sprayer.
Pivot BioProven. Get what you paid for. The nitrogen that stays put, whether or not.
5 conferences, 1 location, something for your entire team. Get ready. The 2020 Top Producer Summit is set for January 27th through the 30th in Chicago. This year's summit is a combination of the 5 highly regarded Top Producer Conferences, Top Producer Seminar, Executive Women in Agriculture, Tomorrow's Top Producer, Farm Journal Legacy Project, and, for the first time, the Farm Journal Hemp Summit. Register today for Top Producer Summit at tpsummit.com.
It's time for AgriTalk Tech Talk. Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Plott joins us. Dan, what's the market move that matters most today?
Hey, Ted, I'm looking at January RBOB gasoline futures today. As with crude oil, the gasoline market has been moving sideways throughout 2019. The market posted a low around $1.30 per gallon last December, rallied to $1.78 in April, and has since been trading in a large wedge formation. The Jan contract did test the top of that wedge around $1.66 early last week, then set back, only to rebound from a test of 40-day moving average support at $1.57 last Friday. It acts like it wants to break out to the upside in the near future, but that's not at all guaranteed. Ultimately, it's probably going to break out to either side of this wedge at some point in the near future, which will be the start of a short-term trend.
Thanks, Dan. I like it, but my car doesn't. That's Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Bott. Get more chart insight in the Pro Farmer newsletter. Just go to tryprofarmer.com.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer editor and AgriTalk market analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarm.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
3, 2, 1. Oh, no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ad Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Hey, Jim, how would you describe our D.C. Signal to Noise podcast?
It's a dairy parlor analysis of the D.C. politics that impact America's farmers and ranchers.
Dairy parlor analysis? What do you mean?
No bull.
Download the D.C. Signal to Noise podcast with Jim Wiesmeyer and me, John Harith, every Friday on agweb.com, the AgriTalk app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everyone. My name is Ted Seifert. I am the Chief Market Strategist of Zahner Ag Hedge, and I am filling in for Chip Flory here today. We are talking to Sherman Newland of Risk Management Commodities. Having a good conversation about soybeans so far. I want to get into corn, wheat, and see if we can get to livestock as well. We're going to try to run the full gamut here today. But before we get to that, Davis, why don't you give us a quick market recap?
Sure thing, Ted. Well, December hard red futures 2.75 lower, 422. December soft red futures fell a penny and 0.25, 507.75. December corn futures a 0.5 higher, 375.75. March corn gained 0.75 cents to 384.75. November bean futures 2.25 cents lower, $9.25 today. January beans gained 1.5 cents to 916.75. On your livestock side, December live cattle 97.5 cents higher, 119.07.5. Novi feeders firmed a $1.05, 146.62.5. And December lean hogs 37.5 cents lower, 62.75. There's your quick market recap. Back to her now, Ted.
Davis, you are the man. Thank you very much, as always.
Roger that.
Yeah, buddy. All right. Well, Sherman, how's it going, man? We were talking about soybeans. I kind of want to get into corn. You mentioning that your corn yields had been down just similarly to your soybean yields, and we were talking about, you know, soybeans. Is the USDA too high on their production number? We were both kind of agreeing that, yeah, maybe they are a little bit. What about the corn? I mean, that's the one that everybody really wants to know, I think. What are you seeing for corn production versus what the USDA is currently looking for?
Well, I personally still think we're lower than what USDA says, but again, you know, doesn't really matter what I think. I do have an opinion, but you know how that goes. I do think USDA could be a little bit too high. I think we went down on last month's report a little bit. I think you could see another reduction of maybe a couple bushels from them. I guess personally, I think it could be lower than that. I mean, you know, yields across the board for the most part in Illinois, Indiana, from the guys I talked to and then up in the Dakotas and Minnesota, I mean, things were lower than what they were expecting a lot of places. But, you know, you got a lot of problems going on in North Dakota, in Wisconsin and Michigan and right now with harvest. I mean, you still got, what was the number? Harvest number, 15% on corn the other day. I mean, I'm hearing really low test weights. I mean, I think that will come to ahead here at some point in time will make a difference. I mean, you got high moisture, low test weights. I mean, I'm hearing, you know, corn under 50 pounds. That makes a difference. That makes a big difference on corn. You know, and then you hear guys, you know, having trouble harvest. Some may wait and leave it out into the field for a while till next spring. I'm sure you're going to have some field loss from that. You know, but when is that calibrated into the USDA number? I don't know. So I do think the numbers need to come down. Will they come down? I don't know. I mean, I would like to hope so. I mean, the farmer in me is an optimist and you know, thinks we know more than what USDA does, but maybe we don't, you know. But
so what do you
I think numbers need to.
Yeah, so what do you think of the wet corn? You know, the fact that moisture levels are so high. I mean, obviously that's a big part of why harvest is lagging behind. But what do you think, you know, the wet corn that's coming in, what effect do you think that has on the market?
On the market, I mean, I don't know. It's keeping the corn off the market right now because the guys are trying to let it stand in the field and dry. I mean, we actually dried almost every bushel of our grain this year, and that's probably about a first for us on our farm. I mean, but part of it is, you know, it's basis is good. I mean, we haven't even got around to talking about basis on corn or beans, either one, but basis has been really good for corn. So it's telling you that, you know, the market's wanting corn now, especially out here in the east. I mean, there's some really strong basis numbers levels, you know, especially up in northeast Indiana. Personally, I mean, down here, we're anywhere from, you know, 6 over to 16 over locally, and that's a really strong basis. I'm recommending guys, you know, maybe take a stab at locking some of that basis in for now, you know, and then set the futures price later on things. And if they need to buy some protection, you know, buy some puts, and then you're still in the market with protection. But I don't know. I think it all will boil down to eventually seeing some lower total production numbers now. But when we see that, will it be next summer in the report? Right. Will it be next September report, like was this year, you know, when they whacked off 300 million bushels? So it could be this exact same thing again.
Right. And that's exactly where I was trying to get you to go there, Sherman, on the, you know, the basis talk and, you know, the wet corn right now. We're really having to rely on our old crop stocks, which, according to the USDA, are plentiful, although a lot of the end users I talk to are really questioning that. But, you know, this is later in the year than we normally would have to rely on those old crop stocks. Part of the reason why the basis is so high, I'd say.
Well, I mean, you talk to guys, I talk to guys, you talk to guys. I mean, there's around here, we've all been talking, like, there's no ground piles to speak of. I mean, the elevators aren't having the stocks come in. I mean, I know this sounds a little funny, but there weren't any lines at the elevators when you guys went in the hall and dumped corn. There weren't really any lines like there had been in the past. So that tells me either they're low on old crop supplies to begin with, and then this crop just isn't the size that they anticipated it to be. So I think, you know, there should be some reduction coming down the pike. I mean, I talked to, you know, even insurance adjusters are saying, you know, there's a tremendous ton of claims that are being filed for this crop, whether it's Illinois, Indiana, or wherever. And I think, you know, that in the background kind of tells you a little bit of something. You know,
I would agree.
Between the tea leaves, you know, that there's something more out there than what, you know, maybe the USDA is picking up on some of their numbers. So,
well,
go ahead.
Yeah, when you have end users that are typically quite bearish, saying that, hey, I can't source corn. The corn's not out there. I think the USDA production numbers from the last few years might have been too high because it just doesn't seem to be there. That tells me something, you know. I mean, because these guys are always look just like, you know, farmers are always trying to be positive. Most farmers, I mean, we're generalizing here, but end users for the most part are usually negative. They want the price to go down, right? Or want to justify the price going down, and that is the opposite of kind of what I'm hearing right now. So that I find very interesting. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I wonder if there's something to that.
Well, what do you think? You know, starting out in Indiana, over in the, you know, northeast Indiana. I mean, of course, they didn't get a lot planted to begin with over that way, but their basis was tight before, you know, harvest even started. It was a positive basis. You know, 40 over was, you know, this summer and stuff was nothing. I mean, that was so that told you then that they were tight for corn.
Right. So where do you think the board prices go from here?
Oh, man. I don't know. Technically, I mean, initially it seems to me like we need to head back up to that $3.99, $4 zone. Much higher than that, I think you got to have something coming from the USDA on lower production numbers, or some sort of trade deal signing or something moving forward positive. You know, but like we said, we got basically 2 months of not a lot of news from here. But, you know, the shorts are in the market. Maybe we get some short covering bounces. I mean, the technicals are telling you that maybe things are starting to turn around here just a little bit. We've kind of held some support in through here. So I kind of like, you know, kind of like, you know, talking about the bean action. I kind of like the chart in through here. I don't see a need for us to have to go a whole lot lower. You know, and the funds are already short some corn, so maybe if we could get them to cover, you know, I think the $4 mark initially would be where I would look to go, you know, you know, maybe we could extend it on into the 410, 420 area, but much higher than that, if we can even get to those areas. I think it's you know, take it one day at a time, but I think if you get up into those areas, you have to get some stuff sold.
So we've talked a lot about the production side of corn and beans. But I want to talk about corn demand. You know, the USDA has really slashed our export demand dramatically and feed demand. Do you think the USDA has been bearish enough on cutting demand, or too bearish, or what do you think? Where do you think we end up at the end of the year?
I think they've been pretty pretty good at doing that. I mean, they seem like every time if they give you a production cut, they also, you know, cut you out on the demand side. They add it back to that. So what you gain from that, they throw it, you know, so your carry out always ends up, you know, maybe a little bit smaller, but not small enough. I think they've done enough of that. I mean, to me, you've got a lot of livestock numbers out there. You mentioned ethanol at the top of the show. I mean, that's a plus. I mean, if we could get, you know, the government to go back and give us some more, you know, ethanol usage, throw that back in there and help everything out, I think that would be a tremendous, tremendous help. I mean, we've got to get this ethanol going. And that's part of the China deal. I mean, if we could get something signed with China, I think they would import some ethanol. So we have to get usage back up. You know, we just have to, because, you know, 1.8 billion bushel carryout is, you're not going to run out of corn if that's what it actually ends up being. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's why I'm cautious about new crop, you know.
Yeah, there you go. I'm going to throw a curveball at you here, but you kind of led me into it, actually. What do you think about the acreage mix for next year?
As a producer, you know, down here we stay typically 50-50. There's a lot of guys, analysts out there throwing around 94 plus or higher on million acres on corn. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to rule that out, but it costs a lot of money to put out corn, guys. I'm telling you, it just takes a lot of dollars to do that. And I don't know if you're going to get that many corn acres if you can get this November bean price into this 970, 980, 990 area, and you can lock in 950 cash. I think you got a lot of guys that'll go back with beans, and you might not get that higher corn number. But if you do get the 94 million acres, and you get a 178 or whatever, you know, you start looking at a 2.5 to 2.7 billion bushel carryout.
Yeah.
Fellas, we're these prices, these $4 handles won't hold. I mean, we'll have a lot lower corn prices for next year. So that's why I'm talking to my guys. I said, you know, sell some hedge some new crop in this 4+ area. You know, use the Deist, use the March. Get out there, get something sold. Because if the market goes up, that means your bull spreads are going to be working, so your cash is going to, or your old crop cash is going to gain on your new crop. So,
fantastic, Sherman, pleasure, man. You did a great job. Love having you on the show. Thank you very much for coming on, man. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you.
Everybody else, hey, come on back to AgriTalk. We're going to finish out. I'm going to talk a little bit about livestock, and then we'll go from there.
Hey, AgriTalk listeners, this is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio today. That's profarmer.com/radio.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
5 conferences, 1 location, something for your entire team. Get ready, the 2020 Top Producer Summit is set for January 27th through the 30th in Chicago. This year's summit is a combination of the 5 highly regarded Top Producer Conferences, Top Producer Seminar, Executive Women in Agriculture, Tomorrow's Top Producer, Farm Journal Legacy Project, and, for the first time, the Farm Journal Hemp Summit. Register today for Top Producer Summit at tpsummit.com.
Sweet strawberry icing. You're in Goodwill, and just past that vintage denim jacket, you spot miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings, and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds.
Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
3, 2, 1. Oh no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ad Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Some measure success by Italian suits, corner offices, and luxury yachts. Farmers measure success differently. It's breathing fresh country air, taking care of the people you love, and knowing how to measure success in your soybean acres? That's smart. With Credenz soybeans, you get a precise variety bred to fit your acres. And that Credenz variety comes with agronomic expertise and local insights from your BASF team. So plant your sign of success. Talk to your authorized Credenz retailer or local BASF seed advisor. Always read and follow label directions.
Attention oxygen users. Are you on oxygen therapy and still using tanks? Life is hard enough struggling to breathe. Don't waste your breath on dealing with bulky, dangerous tanks.
Call 800-513-4698 now.
And try the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator risk-free for 30 days. Tanks are a hassle. They hamper mobility and are difficult to transport, not to mention risky. The Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator is compact and makes its own oxygen, making your life easier. If you call right now, we'll send you a free information kit that outlines all the benefits. Plus, you can get a 30-day risk-free trial to see for yourself. But don't wait. This exclusive radio offer won't last. Call for your free information kit on the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator. Ditch the hassles of tanks and experience the freedom of living a mobile life again.
Call 800-513-4698. That's 800-513-4698. 800-513-4698.
For the first time ever, Hemp College will be co-hosted with AgTech Expo, and Indianapolis will be the one location for both technology and hemp production. The Hemp College panel of experts will cover a variety of topics focused on agronomics and marketing of industrial hemp. Then switch into AgTech Expo with more than 25 educational breakout sessions covering precision ag, usable data, machinery demos, sustainable technology, and more. Sign up for both events now at farmjournalagtech.com.
Let's bunker in the jungle. Well, that's all right by me.
Get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. My name is Ted Seifert. I am the chief market strategist of Zahner Ag Hedge, filling in for Chip Flory here today on a Thursday. I'll be back again tomorrow, so really looking forward to that. We'll be talking to Elaine Cubb, and another friend of mine, and really looking forward to the conversation with Elaine. In the meantime, I think that was a very interesting conversation with Sherman. I love Sherman's perspective, how he can look at things from a broker analyst perspective, you know, for risk management commodities, but then also look at things from a, you know, farmer perspective, because that's really, you know, that's a big portion of what he does for a living. So
absolutely.
Yeah, it's fun, man. It's
as
good.
Far as the acreage mix goes. And I don't want to light the signal fires too soon here. Okay.
Light the fires,
so,
man.
So take this with a grain of salt, and, you know, also keep in mind, I've been away from the news for 2 days. In my world, that's an eternity. I have no idea what's going on, but
I hear you.
It can also, you know, add a little perspective, a little clarity of thought. We've been talking ad nauseum about the propane problem.
Yes.
On the show last week and now into this week. And there are some that have suggested that while everybody's scrambling with their tanker trucks to head off to Kansas, in some cases off to Texas, to head off wherever they have to go and sit in line, that those trucks are actually being diverted from what they should be doing this time of year in a typical year, which is refilling the coffers with anhydrous ammonia.
Right.
I think that could probably, and I'm not going to even use the S word here, the SH word, the SHORTAG word
mm-hmm.
here, talking mm-hmm. about spring anhydrous. But when we're talking acreage mix, I've mentioned it before, beloved listeners. I don't want to belabor the point. Maybe it's too late. But I've seen right next to a standing cornfield as the snowflakes fly, here's a guy out in his bean stubble hustling to get NH3 put down so he can rotate corn over into that field. I feel like there could be a significant development with anhydrous availability this spring.
Agreed.
If we continue to have to send drivers farther and farther away for propane, divert our normal transport methods away from refilling anhydrous and fiddling around with propane.
Just a thought, right? So, you know, the 94 million acres of corn Sherman was talking about, I think that's an interesting concept.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, everything you're talking about right now makes you kind of wonder if that's possible. Plus, you know, who knows what weather's going to be, but.
Right, right. Well, and I also like that I haven't heard it in over a month at least. There were some very early, extremely premature rumblings about 100 million corn acres next year. Have you heard anybody say that number in the last X amount of days, weeks, whatever?
I have not. No.
I have not. I think that's off the table. I really do.
Yeah, maybe.
And maybe it was never on the table. Maybe it was just a couple of people trying to, you know, I don't know. 94 sounds pretty reasonable to me. For some reason, my gut tells me somewhere around 91.5, 92.
That's where I'm at. That's where I'm at, buddy. Mm-hmm. Well, and listen, if we get a deal done, you know, guys are going to want to try to plant more beans because we know that demand is coming back or hoping
Absolutely.
That demand is coming back. So
that brings me to another question.
There's a lot that's going to change, you know, so there's so many things that could happen between now and when we actually make decisions. It's really tough. You know, this year in particular, it's very difficult.
Yeah, and I kind of made a little jab. Oh, your tinfoil hat's showing about when you were mentioning, weird how, you know, 1 o'clock the news shows up that there's this or that development, particularly in regards to the China trade negotiations. Ted, it occurred to me when you were talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
Is the trade war just what China needs?
Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't that give them the avenue to just kind of, you know, jockey the market around if they need to buy something real quick? Well, let's make a headline. And then we can always go back and say it was lost in translation or Trump is crazy or, you know, whatever.
Yes.
I feel like it's playing right into their hand.
Global bean prices are sharply lower and they can waive tariffs whenever they want to.
Right.
So, yes, they're able to come in and buy. Look, I've said it a couple times before. I think at some point we're going to look back at this and call it the great soybean robbery of 2019-2020.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I think they need soybeans. I think they want the soybeans, whether they, you know, ASF, you know, we can talk about their drop in demand. They want to build their stocks up in case this happens again in a couple of years, because I get the feeling that they don't think whatever solution we come up with is going to be a lasting one. So I've said that a couple of times. But, Pete Davis, I just really quickly want to touch on livestock really quick.
Oh, yeah.
You know, hogs look kind of iffy to me right now. The December hogs in particular trying to break out to the downside.
Okay.
We've got a problem. We know ASF is a bullish thing longer term, but we still have trade wars going on. We have a lot of weight. We've got a lot of product up front. Cash is very sluggish and we just haven't been able to get that cash market to go. So for anybody that's asking why we can't rally with all the ASF issues and the flurry of Chinese purchases that we saw a few weeks ago, it's the cash market. Keep an eye out for that. As far as cattle are concerned, yeah, we had a break yesterday. Yeah, we needed a bit of a correction. Box beef prices are on fire. Packers margins are good. I think there's more room for cash to go higher. I think cattle can still go higher. That's my two cents on that.
Nice.
Talk more about cattle tomorrow. In the
Nicely
meantime, buddy,
done.
Hey,
yeah.
What do you think? Do you have any tweets of the day?
Today's tweets are brought to you by First Timers. If you ever say never, remember there can ever not never be a first time. And now today's tweets. Parental discretion advised. At Salt Sass Cattle, I never thought I'd MacGyver a rectal prolapse back together and tell the dog he can't bring a testicle in the truck in the same week. That's a first. At Blong Let, never had ice pellets in the sample before. I suppose the dryer will take care of that. And one more at Lone Oak Firmer. Just another day in hashtag Harvest19. Only a few left. Bonus day, he says. Didn't break anything in the last 24 hours. Hashtag that one. New record. Guess there's a first time for everything, Ted.
Fantastic. Yeah, I love the tweet of the day. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening, and thanks to Sherman Newland for coming on the show today. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking to Elaine Cubb from, author of Mastering the Grain Markets, and also another one of my stablemates for Market to Market. So looking forward to that. So be sure to tune into AgriTalk tomorrow afternoon. We'll be ready for you. Thanks, guys.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. Private healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-626-4910. That's 800-626-4910.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
Thanks to Acuron Corn Herbicide for sponsoring the AgriTalk podcast. Talk to your retailer about how you can get 5 to 15 more bushels with Acuron. Acuron is a restricted-use pesticide. Acuron Yield Advantage range is based on 2016 Syngenta and University trials.